Hello and welcome to Wonder Pod. It's another episode. That's right, correct. Another episode. We are up to 34 of these bad boys this year. 2010 is going strong. Joining me this week, as per usual, is Gunsage.
34? Holy crap, we are old.
Thanks. Also joining me this week, and he gets why I'm saying thanks, is Patrick.
What's going on, people? Episode 34. Woo!
Let's do this.
Patrick, what have you been playing this week?
Well, in the world of Nintendo, I tried out a game that my wife has been playing for a long time now on the Nintendo DS. It's a really casual game, to say the least. It's called Crosswords DS, and the name, as the name implies, it's pretty much just crosswords. There's a word search type game there, and also some other, I don't know, other word bubble type game that I found really boring. But, you know, it's okay. I'm not huge into spending a lot of time doing word games. But if you are, this game, I think I've mentioned it before, it's an amazing bargain. It's $20. My wife's been playing this game every day for months and months. It's like it never ends. It's great value and replay. I mean, if you're into these types of games. If not, well, don't bother. Also on the DS, I tried yet again to give Scribblenauts another chance because everybody says it's so great. But just like last time, I have the same feelings about it. Pretty cool, pretty unique for the first 15 minutes you play it. Then it soon shows off all its terrible controls and repetition. There's only so many times I can type in ninja, god, or giant, you know? So many times I can create a spaceship or cut down a tree. Hopefully Super Scribblenauts takes this cool game to the next level and I can spend more than 10 minutes without getting bored. In the world of Xbox 360, well, if you've read my Facebook encoded messages, listened to last week's episode, been to the Project Wonderboy forums, you probably have figured out pretty much what I've been doing, and I can't really talk about it. So I've been doing a lot more of that this week. Also, I downloaded the demo for Vanquish. And I think it's a pretty good game, actually. You know, it's probably not going to do so great coming out against the insane number of titles that we've talked about for the past couple weeks. It's probably not going to do well, but it's still a fun demo and a fun game to check out. Very fast-paced. I would describe it as a fast-paced, arcade-style version of Gears of War, really, without the chainsaws. I like the pacing of the action. It's pretty nonstop, at least the demo I thought was. I almost felt like I had to put quarters into my Xbox every 5 minutes because it felt like an arcade title more for me. At least that's how I feel about it. There's some pretty big enemies that you take down really old school style. You know what I'm talking about. The glowing red weak spot on the arms and on the chest. Shoot there and it takes them out. You know, of course that's highly unoriginal. But hey, if it works, you know, keep doing it. It's fun nonetheless. So I recommend checking out the demo for that game. It's pretty fun. That is pretty much all I've been playing this week, that at least that I can talk about.
Gunsage, your turn out of the chutes.
You know, I actually have more than just one game I was playing this week. It's pretty amazing. So, I did try a little bit more of Scott Pilgrim, but then it started freezing on me. I don't know if this is a problem with the game itself or what exactly. I re-downloaded it, but I haven't had a chance to go ahead and play through it again. In the meantime, I did a bunch of Netflix stuff. But then I went ahead and reinstalled Torchlight, which is, I wouldn't say it's a Diablo clone, but it is incredibly Diablo-esque, as in 99.9% Diablo-esque, as in it's basically Diablo. Except with Team Fortress 2 style graphics. But, because of the fact that we don't have Diablo 3 yet, I would highly recommend it. It is very cheap, it is very fun, it is very enjoyable. But, there was another game that I started playing recently, and that is the game I would like to talk about for just a second, and literally just a second, not a fucking hour. It is Amnesia, The Dark Descent. I saw it on Destructoid, and I was like, oh, okay, it's another survival horror adventure game. Okay, that should be interesting. Yeah, it is and it isn't. I haven't played too far into it, but what I've noticed is they've paid almost too much attention to the graphics and the narrative to really make a game, so far anyway. I spent 15 minutes trying to figure out how to get out of a goddamned hallway because I couldn't find the switch because it was right in the goddamn dark. There was not a torch there, and even though I had a lantern, the oil had run out before I found it because I was looking everywhere else. So, partially that's my bad, but also it's, I don't know. It's really interesting because it has a whole sanity thing going on and everything like that. There is a lot of, like, a sort of memory slash unknown issues and fear of the dark kind of thing going on. It's pretty interesting. I hope to play more into it later. So far, I'm kind of liking it. It looks really nice. It has a really interesting story so far. But the gist that I'm getting so far off of it is, what if the people of the makers of Riven went ahead and made a survival horror game? That's really all I'm getting so far. It was cheap. It was like $16. And it looks really good for $16. I'm just hoping that the rest of it plays out well, because so far I'm not that impressed.
And what platform is this adventure horror game on?
PC. It's available on Steam.
Ah, I was prompting you with that for the listeners, because I have not heard of it. I may check it out. Sounds kind of interesting.
Yep. Sorry, it's available on Steam. I got attracted to it because any more nowadays, all somebody has to say is survival horror. Oh, and by the way, it's scary. It's not Resident Evil 5 bullshit. And I will be immediately interested.
As for me, I have been playing World of Warcraft. I find something very interesting that has continued to make me play it, and it has absolutely nothing to do with the game. Now, while I will not go into details, I have found out that I don't play very often with people who play one single video game. And it turns out that when you only play one video game, you tend to get very, very, very wrapped up in it. Now, I don't mean addicted to it. That's two different things. But it has been fascinating to see how some of these people react to certain events and certain things that happen, both in-game and while interacting with other humans. Because for me, if World of Warcraft gets boring, I shut it off and I turn on my Xbox 360. Or I turn on Steam. Or I turn on my PS2. Or I turn on my iPhone. And I play something else. And so, World of Warcraft is probably about due for a hiatus on my end, although raiding and doing some of those things when you get in good groups has been a lot of fun this week. But the people watching aspect of it has probably been more fascinating than the game. Like I said, I'm not going to go into details on it. It wouldn't be fair, and fairly several other things. Also this week, I have continued to struggle on with Scott Pilgrim. It's a beautiful homage to 80s beat 'em up games. I'm actually getting better at it. I did not have the freezing problem that Gunsage has had, but I have not gone back to it because yesterday I picked up Skate 3. And I gotta tell you, I kinda wish I'd picked this up sooner. I gotta give the guys at EA and Black Box a really good round of applause. When you're doing the third in almost any franchise in any genre, it's hard to make it more interesting than the second without breaking the game. And they have managed to do that. They have given you a new setting, new surroundings, new things to do, new ways to earn new things in-game. I'm impressed. I've been really, really impressed. I've just gotten to the point now where I'm kind of more free skating and not paying as much attention to the challenges, because I've kind of gotten as far as I generally tend to go. Most of the challenges now are too annoying for my taste. I got to that point with both Skate 1 and Skate 2, but I do have to give them big credit for making the third very enjoyable, new, and interesting. If you ever skateboarded, or if you've ever had anything to do with skateboarding, you will find the intro to be highly amusing. And the other thing I want to tell you listeners is, if you're concerned about picking it up used, because it's part of EA's Project $10 DLC thing, I would recommend not to worry about picking it up used at this point. The $10 DLC is not worth $10, and you're not really going to lose any sleep over it, in my mind, in my opinion, if you don't get it. It's nothing so spectacular it makes it worth the $10, like, say, Battlefield 2 was or Mass Effect 2 was. So, there you go. Gunsage just posted here, I heard it was good, but I couldn't figure out Skate 2's controls. You have to put a lot of time into it before you're going to completely understand the controls, if you have not played anything but the Hawk series. Skate 1, if you could find it for like $5 or $10 used, and you seriously want to try it, Gunsage, I'd recommend going and seeing if you can find one, because it has the best tutorial and will give you the best base for the controls to move on up. So,
well, I was going to say, would it be advisable to get Skate 1 and 2 and then 3, or...
Do you still have 2, or did you trade it in?
I never had 1 or 2. I went ahead and played a demo of it.
I would go ahead, if you can find one, and I think I've seen copies still in the used bin, if you can find one, pick it up and give yourself, like, at least an hour of gameplay. But here's the thing, don't try and do any challenges. Just go play all the way through the tutorials, then just free skate, farting around with it, and it has a trick guide that tells you how to do it. You just hit, like on Skate 1, you hit start, and it says trick guide in the menus. And so then you work through to get better at it, because it's completely different from Hawk, and much better in my mind. So that's how I went through it when I played the original. And and it was a good base. And then when I played 2, I picked up some of the tricks I didn't pick up in 1. And now at 3, I can do pretty much all the tricks from 1 and 2. There's a few more they've added for 3. Like, they finally added wall riding, which Hawk added like 10 Tony Hawks ago. You know?
Oh, yeah. They added it on the second one, yeah.
So.
We call it wallies.
Well, we're splitting hairs, but a wally and a wall ride's slightly different. So they're adding new stuff, but if you have the base, you can pick it up. I don't know. If you're in GameStop and you see it for $5 or $10 when we're in a lull, I'd pick up one, spend some time with it, and see if you, because the controls aren't impossible to learn, but they do require you to spend some time with them.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, it was so detailed. It was like, so, go ahead and click the right stick to pick your nose. It was ridiculously detailed. I was like, so in Tony Hawk, I hold down a button to go ahead and go faster. I release it, I jump, and then I can press other buttons to do tricks. I just have to make sure I don't do tricks while I'm trying to land. And this, I have to press fucking 15 Hadoukens in order to land correctly. I didn't understand what I was doing, and I didn't feel like the demo really explained it well enough, other than the whole bone-breaking aspect, which I'm like, oh, okay, so if I wipe out, I might break a bone.
Yeah, but in 1 and 2, you get achievements for breaking enough bones. If you do sit down and take the time with it, you will be thinking to yourself about an hour into it that, yes, it's a lot more detailed because they wanted it to be more real, and it is. But once you've learned the control process, it's no different than Hawk. It becomes second nature.
Well, that's cool. So, yeah, I'd definitely give it a shot, especially if the original is really cheap now, which I'm betting it
should be.
There's
three of them out now.
Two prequels.
Yeah. Yep. Well, there's three of them. No, it's not prequels. They just kind of keep jumping the story around. Okay.
Well, they're prequels now.
Yeah. So, yeah, well, the term prequel and sequel has been mauled by this generation of video games and movies and shit to where it doesn't even make sense anymore. Okay, that has been what we've been playing. My discussion topic for this week, I asked these guys to think about MMOs. And specifically, I asked them, is there one genre that if they came out with an MMO, you would just have no choice but to play it and enjoy it? And if not, why not? Patrick.
This is a tough question, for me at least, because I'm not a big MMO fan, but there are a lot of genres that I really like. So, you know, it's kind of hard to say really for me. I'm not a big fan of sitting in front of my computer for hours upon hours upon hours at a time, which seems like what happens to most people who get addicted to MMOs, you know? I don't want to sit here for 4 or 5 hours playing an MMO, you know, that's going to require that to me to do that. So right away, the concept of an MMO is not really that appealing for me personally. Also, they usually involve a lot of grinding and RPG elements, which if you've ever listened to me on the show, you know I'm also not a big fan of. Usually when you guys start talking about MM or about RPGs, I start making animal noises. You know, however, there's one thing that I'm a massive fan of in pretty much every form of media, and that's Star Wars and its extended universe. So there is a big Star Wars MMO coming out in the not too distant future. And to be honest, I am at least a little bit interested in it, which says a lot considering, as I just said, my total lack of giving a crap about any other type of MMO. So if there's ever a chance of me personally becoming a fan of multiple, however it is, MMOs, that's what I'm going to call it, sitting on my ass in front of my PC for a long time, it's going to be me holding a lightsaber in my hand or flying around like Boba Fett freestyle jetpack all over the place, you know. That's it, really. I can't see myself getting addicted to any other type of MMO unless I've got a dual-bladed lightsaber kicking some noob's ass. You know, maybe that canceled Halo game on the Xbox 360, that might have got me interested. I would have at least played the demo for it. But I doubt I would have become addicted. I think there's only one chance of me ever going to the MMO, and that's name is Star Wars.
Gunsage.
There are three possibilities. None of these three will ever happen, but they are certainly possibilities. The first was something that one person recommended at my last job, and that was Super Mario Brothers. The original Super Mario Brothers, but set up in a 3D universe and everything like that. It could even have the Super Mario Galaxy graphics. He really didn't care at the time. And I was like, how do you figure that's an MMO? And he goes, well, look at the original concept. So Mario was originally from Brooklyn. He was a plumber. Him and his brother got sucked down a sewer pipe, which then led to the Mushroom Kingdom. But did it have to be him and his brother? Could it be him and his sister? Could it be any kind of person, any kind of plumber? It didn't even have to be a plumber, per se. Could it just be someone who was sucked into the Mushroom Kingdom? You know, there's a lot of things that you can interpret from all of that. He was talking about, you know, it doesn't need to be like turn-based combat or whatever, but it could literally be like Mario 64 setup. You can walk around, you can go beat up enemies whenever you want. You can go ahead and attack blocks. You can do whatever. And, you know, if you die, well, okay, you lose a few experience points here and there. No big deal. But, yeah, you just basically go around, do a bunch of platforming, maybe get people to help you out if you need to, and just kind of have fun with it. The second would be Shadowrun, which is something that I'm really surprised has never had an MMO of. The main reason I say Shadowrun in particular is because I'm just a big decking fan in general. Decking meaning sort of a Hollywood-esque version, like a cyberpunk Hollywood-esque version of hacking. In that, it's not really hacking, it's more, oh, you have an avatar and you're going into the Matrix and you're having to go ahead and, you know, hack these terminals, but with a cyber deck and all this shit. And it doesn't make a whole lot of sense as far as, you know, when you're looking at it from a scientific angle. But when you're looking at it from a movie angle, it's really cool. I've always thought that, yeah, you could go ahead and have a two-part system on a Shadowrun MMO. You could have the whole, I'm looking around, I'm doing shadow runs, I'm doing all this different stuff, I'm doing escorts, I'm doing whatever, blah, blah, blah. And then you also have the Matrix, where you can go in there, you can go ahead and hack files, steal shit, go ahead and sell it later, all this different stuff. I thought that'd be really awesome. I thought maybe you could be either someone from, like maybe you could set it up to where you belong to a certain corporation, so you have to protect their interests. So if somebody's hacking into their shit, they may call you back to go ahead and come in, deck into their shit as well to go ahead and prevent different people from hacking their stuff, selling their stuff, whatever. That'd be kind of interesting. And the final one is a take on the original Final Fantasy. I've always said it'd be really interesting if they took the original Final Fantasy, put it in full 3D, had the same story, everything like that, but set it up as an MMO. You know, you can set it up to where you have a party, but then bots would have to go ahead and control your other characters, or you can set it up to where you were a fighter, you were a white mage, you were this, you were that, whatever. Once you got to a certain level, then you could go ahead and set up to the next tier. You know, you go from a fighter to, what is it, like a warrior. You go from a white mage to a white wizard, what have you. But have it all in 3D, have it all, you know, semi-real time, the way MMOs are right now anyway, and have it where people can join or exit your party or whatever. You know, it would work like that. It really would.
Okay. I obviously play World of Warcraft. Now, here's the thing. Patrick's point about the 4 or 5 hours in front of the PC and all that stuff is valid, but not necessarily. Because with an MMO, even with World of Warcraft, you can choose how much time you put in and how fast you progress and what you decide to make of the experience. So while most people do spend a lot of time playing, it's not necessary. But that is not the one I'd like to see. And this is going to be one that Patrick probably didn't think about that would suck him in. Because really, if you think about it, Patrick, while he isn't grinding, has become a little more accustomed to RPG elements with Modern Warfare 1, Modern Warfare 2, and Battlefield Bad Company. Now, while Patrick will never be a true RPG grinder, he is rather comical when it comes to something he wants. He doesn't like the traditional sights on a gun when we're playing a brand new first-person shooter. He cannot wait and does not stop talking until he gets a scope, and then he gets a better scope. It's the basic characteristics of what the rewards are of hardcore RPG grinding without the hardcore grinding. You know, it's more lightcore, if you want to call it grinding. So here's what I would love to see. I would love to see a real-time, real-world-esque. You probably couldn't make an actual true real world with the disaster going on with the Medal of Honor and, oh my God, you can play as the Taliban. First-person shooter MMO. Now, while there wouldn't be any quests per se like an RPG, there would be plenty of humongous team battles. You would get upgrades. You would do a lot of things that the MMOs do, but you would also have the opportunity to take, you know, whatever path in the game you wanted. And it would just be kind of like World of Warcraft and the way its worlds work, only on an MMO stage. Now, Gunsage just wrote about 4 games in here, 3, sorry you're wrong, but MAG, although it's had humongous problems from what I've heard, MAG is kind of a step in that direction, but what I'm thinking would even hook in the most non-RPG person, because you have to make the experience feel like it's not grinding, like you don't have to spend more than we spend normally in a night in multiplayer. You know, so I think it's possible to do that with a first-person shooter and make it modern or make it Halo or make it whatever. You know, because I mean, I'm sure Patrick is aware of it, and I'm going to let him rebut here in a minute, but there have been RPG elements slipped in now to a lot of first-person shooters, and I notice even the most ardent non-RPG fan has become fairly accustomed to them. Do you agree, Patrick? And what do you think of that type of scenario?
Well, definitely didn't think about a first-person shooter as an MMO, but I guess you're right. Yep, they've been throwing in, and it's got lightly throwing in, like you say, soft core or whatever, grinding elements. Even in the 1 versus 100 season 2, there were grinding elements. There were upgrading. There was RPG. There was experience points. You would get different dance moves. I'm surprised Gunsage wasn't all over that. Different dance moves depending on how many questions you could get right. Things like that. So even in something as simple as 1 versus 100 season 2, they're adding, dare I say it, RPG elements. So it is happening more and more. And yes, in Call of Duty, I try my best once I get a class to get the damn laser sight and then to get the scope. So I've been doing it, and I don't know. I guess it is. If there was a well-done first-person MMO, I definitely would be into that. I just never really thought of that being, they're being capable of doing that.
I think it's possible. And I think if they set it up as far as the upgrades go, along the lines of what they're doing now with Call of Duty and Battlefield, while it would keep the hardcore MMO goons out, which would not be a bad thing, I think it would be a much better experience for people who only want to put in, say, a couple hours a night into it, set it down, and then, you know, come back the next night, and come back the next night. If you think about it, even though we weren't playing COD as much as some of the little 12-year-old Twitch kiddies, there wasn't that many nights, you know, non-glitching nights, that our lack of levels really hampered us. So I think if you just took that concept and put it into a massive world, or worlds as World of Warcraft is, because it's like three different continents that you can travel, I think that would work, especially if you threw in vehicles, helicopters, tanks, kind of along the same lines as World of Warcraft. Like, you get to a certain level or whatever, then you can have, you know, a mount, let's call it for lack of a better term, or a job, you know, say you want a job as a tank driver or a ship, you know, or a battleship driver or something silly like that. But I think if they kind of treat it as far as the leveling goes and as far as the light grinding goes, the same way they have in some of the first-person shooters, I think they could sell it. And I wouldn't be surprised if we don't see one. If you really want to know the truth, I think that's what Bobby Kotick has been kind of hinting at when he talks about Call of Duty and subscription fees. I don't think he's talking about, like, you know, the next Modern Warfare or Black Ops. I think he's more thinking along the lines of, look what Blizzard's doing with World of Warcraft. You know, could we take the same experience from a Modern Warfare, put that on the same scale as World of Warcraft, and appeal to a different market, you know? It's just an interesting thing, and what made me ask you guys which kind you just couldn't pass up was I started thinking about a first-person shooter like World of Warcraft. Obviously, rules and things are different, and that because it would be a lot of fun. Like in World of Warcraft, you can be riding along at 100 miles an hour on your horse, see an enemy character, and go, oh. But you have terrain and all these things to help you figure out how you want to attack them. Do you want to avoid them because of your level and this and that? And I think you could transfer that well to a first-person shooter MMO. So it brought me up. I kind of figured Patrick would be Star Wars, but Gunsage, I'll give you credit. I never thought about Shadowrun, and I like Cyberpunk just enough that might be kind of interesting. I'd at least play a demo of one that was kind of Cyberpunk, maybe a little steampunk. That could be interesting, if it's not too RPG. So, all right, fine, listeners. Oh, go ahead. Sorry, Gunsage.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say I had one other thing to add, yeah. And it was more or less a question for Pat.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
Yes.
Pat!
Yes? Did you play Fallout 3 yet?
I haven't played Fallout 3, no.
Well, quit being a faggot.
Okay.
Yeah, even Jim's trying it again. I saw he was online when I was playing Skate. That man has not given up trying to like that game. He's gone back and played the older ones. He ought to be given a medal, because I know how much that game pisses him off. Oh, so. All right, that's been our discussion topic, and now Patrick has homework to play Fallout 3. So thanks to Gunsage, so don't scream at me about that, Pat. Take it with you on vacation. Take your 360 with you on vacation. I'm sure the wife will love that. Yes. Put it in the hotel room. Don't ever leave.
She actually suggested bringing the Xbox 360, believe it or not.
You're kidding!
Because I was bitching about, half joking, half bitching about Halo Reach's launch and we were gonna be in the middle of the mountains. She's like, hey, bring it with you and hook it up to the TV. I was like, no, I don't think I'm that hardcore.
No, yeah, as much as you like to jokingly bitch about it, I think you're perfectly fine. No withdrawals, no shakes, a week away in British Columbia.
I'll survive.
Yes. Yep. Carlos might not. If somebody had to remove Carlos from in front of an internet connection, even a squirrel-based one at the Halo Reach launch, you'd probably see like a small mushroom cloud in Puerto Rico.
Ooh. Yep.
Yes.
I want that on YouTube tomorrow.
It would be a great thing.
Sorry we get delayed shipment for Puerto Rico Halo Reach.
Sinks the whole island.
Yep.
Or he just swims to Florida. No, which is a little...
No me gusta!
Oh, good old Carlos. There's a name we haven't said in a long time and hopefully won't say again for a while. Yeah, at least till we get the Gamer Dicks. when we're all playing Halo Reach. Okay, so that's been our discussion topic. Listener questions this week. The only one we got is the one, the only Spaceman G, and I will let him take it away. Here comes his transmission.
WonderPod security interface detection online. External message probe detected. System analysis detects sender G. Data analyzed. Prepare for audio playback.
Cosmonaut G signing in. I can't speak too loud this week. I'm the only one left up here. Damn you, GCC. WonderPod. I've been killing time watching old DVDs and movies, and it got me thinking about a question I had for you. There have been a number of games made into movies and vice versa over the years. Generally, if one is good, its counterpart sucks. It would be far too easy to rip on the plethora of examples that exist. So, to be speculatory and generally positive in our goal here, name an original video game that has never been made into a movie, but if it were created in the vision of the original game, would be an excellent film. Okay, I gotta go now. I think you can hear me.
Audio signal complete.
To be honest, there's only one that I would really like seen into a movie, but unfortunately, they would literally have to crop the cutscenes. And that is Metal Gear Solid. Honestly, it's the first game that I was like, wow, this is a movie, basically. I was looking at it and I was going, you know, could it be a movie? Is it too long for a movie? If you literally took all the cutscenes in the game and put them back to back, just the cutscenes, not the gameplay itself, you would have a Lord of the Rings plus one epic movie. Not because of the epicness, just because of the fucking length. I mean, I'm even hearing reports of there's a 90-minute cutscene in Metal Gear Solid 4, one of the major reasons why I haven't played it. Also, I don't have a PS3, so if you can steal one for me and give it to me, that'd be great. But that's one of the major reasons I haven't played it. And I'm looking at it and I'm going, I love the Metal Gear Solid series in general. Even just the original Metal Gear on the MSX before the NES. It was better on the MSX, whatever. I think, honestly, that would translate to a movie well. I don't know who they get to be Snake, though. That would be an interesting question. Who would they get to be Snake?
I would vote for... oh, shit. And my brain just farted. The guy from Transporter. But I like him.
Oh, wait. Jason Statham with a mullet.
Come on, dye his hair.
I just
Statham would make a pretty good Snake.
I just thought about that. I was like, haha, Statham with a mullet, and then you went, that guy from Transporter, and then I started just about throwing up laughing.
Realistically, they'd probably get Brad Pitt or somebody like that. if they could.
Yeah.
If Yui Bowl had nothing to do with it. So yours is Metal Gear Solid.
Well, the reason I stay away from RPGs is because even if you take out all the padding, all the unnecessary side missions and everything, most RPGs still have enough writing in them. I don't see them translating well into film. I mean, they have had Final Fantasy mangas and shit like that, but to be completely honest, I would rather see a game that is specifically designed for action into film. Oh, so I guess I have one more. Gears of War. That would work.
Not if Cliffy B had anything to do with it. I wouldn't want to see that.
He'd be the star of it.
Thank you. That's what I don't want to fucking see.
No, he could be Carmine.
Yeah.
That I would accept.
I would like
if
that.
If he died in
that.
The first 10 minutes,
yep.
I would be okay with that. Preferably there shot out of a cannon.
Well, Cosmonaut G from outer space on your asteroid or whatever seems to be in a bit of trouble this week. He spoke of an alien presence last week, and now he says he's the only one left up there. So hopefully we can hear from him again soon, and he's all right. But anyways, back to his question. I gave this question some thought today, and you know, there's only one movie that I can think that demands to be made. Kevin Costner starring in Pac-Man, the motion picture. But no, actually not. Seriously,
that's okay.
Though,
I thought you were going to fucking say Halo.
Well, that'd be a good action flick, I guess. But anyways, seriously, I'd actually really like to see a very well-made Legend of Zelda movie. I mean, I think the genre, the whole, I don't know what you say, the whole world of the Legend of Zelda is pretty cool. Probably based, you know, loosely on maybe Ocarina of Time on the N64. It's my favorite personal Zelda title. I think it would be great to have an epic classical music soundtrack for this movie and just, you know, really, really epically done. You know, if you could get a director like that, who's that fat dude who did Lord of the Rings? What the heck's his
name? Peter Jackson?
There you go, Peter Jackson. Get somebody of that caliber to make a fantasy movie like that. I think, you know, he would be really well suited for such a big epic event. It would be a big summer blockbuster. I'd like to see the time traveling aspect of Ocarina of Time drawn out more, and it really gets characters like Princess Zelda and Link himself flush out the characters, because you know, when you play the Zelda game, you kind of take the role of Link. That's the whole point. He doesn't talk a lot. The players can almost assume the role. But I'd like to see an actual character of the Hero of Time drawn out. I think it would be cool. So that's probably the one I would like to see. Unfortunately, you know, I'm sure Nintendo wouldn't really go for that unless they had 100% say in it. They would probably want to do it themselves. I mean, and could you imagine a Zelda movie made by Nintendo? You know, it would probably star a blurry, low-resolution me character with green pants and no arms, with no ability to chat with any of his friends.
Yeah, or it'd be Shrek Part 4.
Yeah.
Cosmonaut G, for mine, you know, I'm gonna go the RPG route. And if you just take the concept of this RPG, and I've talked about this RPG probably too many times, I think you could take Planescape Torment by Black Isle and BioWare and just take that concept. You know, the guy's undead. He has no memory. He needs to figure out what happened to him and how to make it so that he can die. There's some cutscenes in the game with his now long dead wife that if it was done correctly, you could make very interesting. The game has a kind of Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome meets a medieval RPG feel to it. So while I think it would be extremely difficult to get it really well done, the story is there. And it, while it's a story that Hollywood has touched upon elements of in other movies, it's never really been done completely in the way that story is told. Toward the end of the game itself, you might have to kind of take it in a Hollywood direction. But for the most part, if they were smart and stuck pretty true to the storyline of the game, I think you could make, if nothing else, a pretty fun popcorn film out of it. Now, I don't mean fun in the sense that you'll be yucking it up and laughing, but at least entertaining and compelling. So I was really kind of torn. I was kind of like Gunsage. I didn't want to go the RPG route because they're kind of hard to write for or translate into Hollywoodese. But I think Planescape Torment would be one of those ones that you could make. Now, you wanna make just an easy one. I'm surprised. I'm sure it's probably been talked about and I just didn't hear it. I'm surprised Mass Effect hasn't been turned into a movie yet. But then again, it could be just, you know, I'd probably get hammered for being a Star Wars clone. So that was really all I had. Okay, we thank you for your questions. Hopefully you haven't been eaten by aliens and we'll hear from you again soon whenever you get whatever problems you had fixed up there. And we will now move on to a new segment. It's just a quick segment, ladies and gentlemen. There's a lot of times where we get stories or there's news that comes across that I think you guys would be interested in, you, the fine listening audience, but we really don't have time to do the whole thing and go through our regular shtick of all of our opinions and stuff. So basically what you're going to hear from me is just really quick news notes with one at the end popped up on my screen that I'm actually going to bring the whole mess in to talk about. So here we go. First time out of the gate. News notes is what this is called. First one. The Save Carmine, Kill Carmine shirts raised $150,000 for Child's Play. Well done, you gamers. No word as to what was decided. Epic and Ding Dong we were talking about before has decided to keep that secret. Gunsage is going to choke to death on this next one. L.A. Noire, it's official, has been pushed back to 2011. I've even read some reports that people weren't sure why they were taking pre-orders on that. Gunsage may want to run down to his local GameStop. Next one, Plants vs. Zombies. If you have not picked it up yet, if you're only a console gamer, I'm not sure if it's on the PSN, but it's on the Xbox 360. It is 1,200 points, but I kind of think the multiplayer makes that worth it. Even though I have it on Steam, if enough of my friends pick it up on Xbox Live, I may eventually pick it up too. Next one, if you want a pure comedy experience, I recommend you type in the search in Google, Sony Move versus Stuff. While they're definitely taking hardcore, arrogant asshole pot shots at the Kinect and Wii, it's still hilarious just to look at some of these charts. You don't actually have to listen to Kevin Butler or that annoying Marcus kid. I almost punched out a video screen at GameStop yesterday because he came on. Finally, one I didn't want to cover because we're going to talk about one other dickhead later in the show, so I didn't want to bring two of them that I hate and don't really, well, I'm starting to hate this one. It appears on top of his duties at running Valve, Gabe Newell has now officially joined the Sony PR department. There was a story out today that I recommend you listeners dig up, him trashing Xbox Live this time. It's getting more and more funny with Valve. And finally, in the news notes, and this is a sad news note, the other two may have already read this, let me see, hold on one sec. Brian Wood of Relic Entertainment was killed earlier this week in a car accident, and according to all reports, he saved the life of his wife and unborn child in the process of the accident by swerving at the last minute, a very heroic thing to do. He worked for Relic Entertainment on the game Company of Heroes, among others, as a developer. The thing I want to bring to you fine folks' attention is I know it's a bad economy and all that, but if you do have a few bucks to rub together, I would really appreciate it if you check out BrianWoodMemorialTrust.com. That's BrianWoodMemorialTrust.com. It's a trust fund set up to support his wife and as yet unborn child who were both survived the accident okay. I'd also like to send out personally my condolences to Brian Wood's family, his wife, and parents, and whoever else. Patrick, would you like to say anything on that last one?
I actually haven't heard about that news, so I just heard it now. It's very saddening and shocking, and I wish the family the best of luck in this bad time.
Gunsage, anything to add on that last one?
I saw that previously. Yeah. I mean, if put in a similar circumstance, I'd probably do the same thing. That's just fucking crazy.
So, one last time, folks, if you could, if you got any cash running around on PayPal, please visit BrianWoodMemorialTrust.com. And now let's move on to news. And the first news story, I know we kind of ended news notes on a down note, but the first news story, it happened. PAX was last weekend, and the first day the show floor opened, no more than 10 minutes after, my Twitter account was flooded with photos of this. Yes, it's true. Unlike Bigfoot, unlike the Loch Ness Monster, unlike Chupacabras, unlike anything else you can name, unlike Carlos behaving well, it is true. It is actually happening. Duke Nukem Forever is out. Gearbox is polishing up and finishing it. It will be released 2011. Destructoid's Jim Sterling, among thousands and thousands of others, played it, said it's definitely a Duke Nukem game. Patrick, I'll give you the first chance to comment since Gunsage is going to explode.
Hail to the king, baby. It's time to kick ass and chew bubblegum. And I'm all out of gum.
Yes, this will be interesting to see how things go with this title. You know, finally it's coming out. There's people on the internet saying that literally half their life they've been hearing about this game in development. What, 12 years or longer? It's still not out yet, so it might go on 13 years. I honestly can't see it being an amazing AAA game, to be honest. You know, how could anything that's been delayed a gazillion times, been put on the shelf, had new engines, watched consoles come and consoles go over a period of 12 friggin' years be a great title? You know, the answer is probably it won't. But that doesn't mean that it won't be cool to see the finished product. It won't be worth renting, buying used at some point. You know, I could be wrong, but I doubt it. It's a really funny story that gamers have been joking about for 12 years, and finally we can see the end results. It's going to generate some hype just for that fact alone. People are going to buy it, look at it, just to see it. You know, they'll be rubbing their eyes. Is this true? Is this true? Like you said, it's like a spotting of one of these mythical creatures. I'm not over the moon to see it's back on track because of the long delays, but it is interesting to see, and I'll be very interested to see how it's going to end up after all this time. I hope it surprises people. I hope it surprises me, and it turns out, you know, as well as a game that's going to take 13 years to develop can actually turn out.
Personally, from what I saw the gameplay footage, I'm not a Duke fan, but I'm telling you, it's probably not a worth the first day purchase. But I'm thinking I'll probably even pick it up. But just to finish up with you, Patrick, so you're saying basically unless there's like a drop-dead killer demo, you're pretty much going to be bargain bin sometime down the road with it.
Probably. With all the way shooters have changed and evolved, so to speak, even though they can't really evolve. But I'm hopeful it's going to blow me away, but I really doubt it. I mean, the history of this thing is just too much crap over 13 years.
Gunsage, take it away. You're the big Duke Nukem fan.
So, in the mid-90s, it was Duke Nukem 3D. In the late 90s, it was Half-Life. In the early 2000s, it was Halo. And most fanboys kind of stuck with Halo. Even though the Battlefield series was really awesome, there are so many people that are fucking zombies that stayed with Halo. Now look, I'm really interested in the Duke Nukem Forever thing, but the biggest thing I'm worried about is how culturally relevant it is now. Having a character who is so crass, so ridiculous, and so over the top that it's hilarious, I'm wondering if that time has passed. And the only reason I'm wondering if that time has passed, when you look back at movies like Commando, that it's hilarious. You get exactly what you want. You get all the action that you want, and you get the ridiculous over-the-topness that you want. Yes, it's still fun to watch today. And back then, it was fun to watch because it was well, basically the norm. You could almost say that it was a parody of the movies of that time. I'm looking at it now and I'm going, it's not going to be a parody. It's going to be Duke Nukem in the present, except not in the present because he's going to be the same age, so how does that work? I don't know how it's going to work. I've seen some of the footage. I've seen all the different stuff. It looks like it'll be fun to play. I just don't know if it's really going to be a Duke Nukem game at this point. I mean, I played Land of the Babes. I tried to play Time to Kill. Didn't work. Zero Hour, a couple of different things. Manhattan Project, which really isn't that great, but if you like Duke Nukem 2, it was pretty good. I'm looking at this and I'm going, is it even going to matter? It is going to matter to the people who have waited. But most of them have moved on. A lot of them moved on to Halo. So is it going to be a case of Halo versus Duke Nukem? I mean, that would be pretty fucking epic. I would definitely go for Duke Nukem in that case, but only because I don't like Halo, and that's it. Not because Halo is necessarily a worse game. I look at this now and I go, as far as Duke Nukem goes, he's gone. He's been gone. It'll be interesting to see what happens. I know I'm going to be purchasing it, not first day, but I'm going to be purchasing it at some point. I'm just worried that it's going to be another Land of the Babes or Zero Hour or whatever, where it is Duke Nukem, but it isn't Duke Nukem, and it's not that great.
I really don't care what it turns out to be. I think that if Gearbox thought it was going to be any of the concerns that Patrick and Gunsage have both expressed, I don't think they would have tackled the project. For the very simple reason that they are not EA or Activision or Bungie or Take-Two. You know, they're still a mid-level developer, although Borderlands has been excellent. I saw the gameplay footage too. I don't really know what's going to happen. But I do find it interesting that something that has gone on as a epic saga for 12 years has finally come to an end. And I got to applaud Gearbox for taking it on. I mean, you are taking on something that has pretty much a life of its own at this point. I mean, the jokes have been going on for the 90s. And like Patrick said, and it's comical to think about that, there are some gamers now who are in their 20s that half their life or more than half their life, they've been hearing about this game. You know, it is kind of Bigfoot-esque, and now it's real. It was playable at PAX. It will be out sometime in 2011. We'll see. We'll see. I'd be interested to play a demo of it. I've never been a big fan of Duke. I may pick it up at a bargain bin price just to see how it ends up turning out after a decade. My suspicion personally is that the game was mostly done throughout this whole entire saga, and it had more to do with the fact that 3DO was run by a group of shit-throwing monkeys who didn't know what they were doing. And I think that if the game itself was pretty intact throughout the years and that Gearbox is just making it look as good as it can for this generation, then it might be a pretty good Duke Nukem game. But time will tell. It's painfully obvious all three of us are not going to buy it right off the bat. We'll see. We'll see how it sells. That'll be one I'll be curious to see as we go into 2011. Our next news story, and this is kind of a just, I don't know, it's what I put in the show notes for these guys was, it's cool on one hand, dumb on the other. And really, I think that's what we're going to go with. Patrick shot me the link to this story. It's from techspot.com. Origin launches hybrid Xbox 360 luxury gaming PC. Basically, what I'm looking at here in front of me is this supercomputer on wheels. It's got a double-wide computer case, which houses not only a top-of-the-line gaming PC that is even making me a former full-time PC gamer drool. It also has a liquid-cooled Xbox 360 as well. All in the same thing, all in the same case. If you want to look at it, I just type in Origin and Super Gaming Computer or something like that. But basically, here's what it comes down to. As cool as this thing looks, here's the prices you folks are going to be looking to pay if you want either Model 1, which is a little less powerful, has the 360, or you want Model 2, which is extremely powerful, completely liquid-cooled, and I think will even do your laundry. Price for the first model is $7,800, basically. Yes, that's $7,800 U.S. The other model is $17,000. I really had a hard time deciding what I wanted to talk about with this with the crew, but here's the take I'm going to go with it. Patrick, this is an absolutely ridiculous set of prices in any economy. Why did they do this?
I have no idea. Who the hell are they looking? Like, what kind of person is going to spend $17,000 on a computer? I don't know who they're trying to get with this. Even $7,800, it's pretty ridiculous. But, you know, it's an amazing powerhouse PC, like you said, even though the so-called cheap model, that's nearly $8,000. And, you know, with the name the Big O, I'm sure a few PC nerds just had a Big O in their pants looking at this monster. But, the thing about PC gamers is they're usually pretty smart guys. They're not just idiots. And to have an Xbox 360 included, that's pretty cool with the liquid cooled. Oh, that's all nerdalicious, but it's overkill. You know, it's great to customize your PC, but this is crazy. When you go a little further, you see that price tag we were talking about, $17,000, $8,000 for the entry level one. Like you said, I have no idea who the hell would buy these. PC gamers, they're smart people, you know, I don't know, maybe Donald Trump needs a new computer. That's the only person, or some Arab in the Middle East, you know, he'll probably take the $17,000 computer and then make it solid gold. But that's about the only audience I think that would do anything other than look at this machine.
Okay, to wrap up your part, Patrick, just give me a guess. How many do you think they're going to sell?
Oh, God. Of the $8,000 one, it might surprise the hell out of us out of desperate.
Okay, let me put it to you this way.
Okay.
For the $8,000 one, more than 50, less than 50.
I'd say more than 50 for the $8,000 one.
More than 50, less than several hundred. More than 50, less than 50 for the $17,000.
Less than 50, I hope.
So you think there's at least a few hundred people that have the $7,800?
I'd say so. Okay. Yeah. Unfortunately.
Yeah.
More money than brains.
Gunsage, give us your take on these HAL-like supercomputers.
Okay, so from what I can understand, they are mega super awesome computers that have red cables and shit in them, even though they don't need red cables, which is kind of fucking obnoxious. And a 360? The 360's inside of them?
Yes, it's not in the pictures you're looking at. You have to go hunt up the one with the actual 360 in it.
So it's a hybrid console. Well, I guess you can't really say console.
No. It's both.
Okay. Yeah.
Why?
I'm drunk. I'm still sane. Why? I don't get it. I really don't get it. I'm looking at this and I'm going, okay, so it's a super expensive Alienware PC, only it's not Alienware. So that means we get to charge more because actually, I don't get it. I don't. Yeah. You know, unless it was a fucking server rack, I wouldn't be spending $10,000 on a goddamn PC or more. That's fucking crazy. Jesus. Unless the gigabytes were made of fucking alien sperm. That ain't gonna happen. Jesus Christ. I don't know.
So, okay, just to wrap this up with you. For the $7,800 version, less than 50, more than 50. Sold.
Okay, I didn't catch this when Pat was saying it. What's the less than 50, more than 50? What do you mean?
Less than 50 units sold, more than 50 of them sold.
unfortunately, even in this economy with how many rich bastards there are, and I know because my wife deals with them, more than 50.
How about the $17,000 version? Less than 50 of them sold or more than 50?
Still more than 50. Well, her department probably sold more than 50.
My take on this is it's just stupid. Origins, I think both of you are wrong. I don't see them selling more than 10 of the fucking $7,800 ones, and I don't see them selling more than 5 of the $17,000 ones. Because here's the thing. Most rich people don't sit around the house playing fucking World of Warcraft, even if they got all, more money than cents. Maybe they might, but there might be 4 or 5, maybe 10 of them sold for some rich person's son. He'll use it 4 times. But other than that, nah. This is more of Gunsage said, why story is why we brought it up. Be sure if you get a chance to search it, just type in origin and supercomputer and you'll get it. Our next story, this is under the ceiling cat is watching you category, mostly because that's what Jim used for the, for the fucking avatar, or for the header, banner. BioWare is mining data from Mass Effect 2. Now that headline sounds really horrible, like they're getting your credit card number and stuff, but read on, McDuff. If you've been playing Mass Effect 2 while connected to the internet, then beware, for you're being watched. BioWare has revealed that its sci-fi RPG sequel was loaded with little events that allowed it to mine data from players, working out how they played the game in order to make Mass Effect 3 a better game. More people played the soldier class, yada, yada, yada. He goes on there about the statistics that came out. At the end here, he says that Rockstar did the same thing with Red Dead Redemption. It's a little creepy to think that developers are spying on your action. It's anonymous, but it's very weird. Next time you're trying to shag Morgan in Dragon Age, just remember, they're looking at you. Now, look, I understand the whole paranoid factor of, oh my god, they're getting information, they're getting information. Here's where my disconnect becomes. Okay, if they're doing this to find out what people are playing in the game, and that only, to make the games better, which it should make the games better, I don't see the bloody big freaking deal. Patrick, what do you see of this whole thing?
You took the words right out of my mouth, Mr. McGee. What the hell is the big deal here, you know? I think Mr. Sterling is just trying to scare some people who have tinfoil hats. I think, you know, a company that's collecting data to improve their future products by looking up how people's play the game they made, you know, is that not really a good thing if you look at it in some ways to make a superior product the next time? It's a way of finding out what most gamers like best about the game and working on the things that people didn't like about the game. It sounds like a good move to me, you know. Oh no, my privacy when playing video games has been compromised. Help! I think if people feel paranoid about this, then they should really consider how many times a day they're being watched on closed circuit television, how often they're being tracked for promotional purposes every time they use a credit card, a club card at a store, or go online. You know, you're being watched, people. You know, get over it.
And this is coming from a guy who's fairly careful about what he does with anything. He's not paranoid. He does some stuff that I find it interesting, but he's smart for doing it for the most part. So if he's saying this, ladies and gentlemen, you really need to adjust your tinfoil hat. Gunsage, what are you in the same boat as us? Who cares if it makes better video games?
As far as I'm concerned, if people are willing to search and look and find me shoving random things in my ass, I don't care. But as far as I'm concerned, I'm looking at this thing as far as the decisions you make in Bioshock 2 and how they will affect Bioshock 3.
Okay. Well, it's Mass Effect, unless but, you know.
Shit! Mass Effect. Yes, I'm sorry. Jesus Christ.
I normally wouldn't have busted you, but I thought I had to. It's like Mass Effect, or fuck, now I'm doing it. Anyway, continue, sorry.
So, Mass Effect 2. This is the way I look at it. Now, back in the 90s, there were a lot of games that came out, especially a lot of them JRPGs for the console generation. They did pretty well, but not all of them did. You know, most of them were reserved for Japan only, and I look at them and I go, why did this only come out in Japan? Such a great game! And I look at it and I go, well, maybe there were one or two things that wouldn't have done well, blah, 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 whatever. It's marketing. It's research. It's not that big of a deal. Unless you're playing Mass Effect. Holy shit, good, I didn't say Bioshock. Mass Effect 2. And it says, well, Shepard, if you trust us so much, give us your credit card information. You know, unless it says something stupid like that, I wouldn't worry. I mean, it's not a protocol within the game that automatically hacks your shit and all this. Come on, we're not talking about cyberdecking bullshit. What we're talking about here is an RPG that is quite covertly, at least until now, collecting information for the next sequel. Unless we can prove that the corporation is trying to go ahead and get information about your, you know, personal shit that you don't want, it's not that big of a deal. Mass Effect is eating our brains! Alternatively, you could also use, so Mass Effect is not eating our brains, as I am told by my evil O-Lord Masters.
You know what, this is, Gunsight's pretty much covered it, Patrick pretty much covered it. So what, they're taking market research, like Gunsight said. I mean, that's just whoopee. Some people need to just calm the hell down. I think Gunsage actually, in his rambling there, had it perfect. Unless Shepard asks you for your credit card number to continue, I think you're pretty fucking safe. Our last news story. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I have broken one of my own rules. It's very rare I do this. But the reason I'm breaking one of my very own rules is because I need to point out that a certain jackass, who I swore would never appear on this show again, has gotten to the point that he is just no longer somebody that you can even take slightly seriously. He has gotten to Jack Thompson levels. That gentleman would be supposed financial and business analyst Michael Pratchard. His latest thing, if you don't know, he's been talking on and predicting that there will be subscription fees for multiplayer and COD and stuff like that. It's going to come. It's going to come. It's going to come. Happen in Halo. It's going to happen in this. I mean, he's like fucking Rain Man. Now, and I got the story from computerandvideogames.com. Now, their first paragraph is perfect. He won't leave it alone. Seemingly eager for the days proved right in his prediction that companies will start charging sub fees for multiplayer gaming, Michael Pratchard, from here on out known as Cuntface, has blamed the appeal of multiplayer mode for the decline in software sales. We still believe that the biggest driver of the sales decline over the last 18 months is online multiplayer functionality, with an estimated 25 million people playing many titles for hours on end, Pratchard told investors. Yatta, yatta, yatta. Oh, excuse me, Cuntface told investors. Yatta, yatta, yatta. Look, gaming press, I implore you. The guy is just trying to make self-fulfilling prophecies. He keeps yammering and yammering and yammering, trying to be right. Not trying to analyze jack shit. He has just become a mouthpiece who got a little too much coverage and started to like it, and I'm really sick and tired of you guys covering him. Please stop. He's a jackass. He needs to be shuffled back to Wall Street to hold up a Dell laptop or something for the guys at CNBC, use this furniture. I don't care. I just, God, really? I mean, really, is it becoming any more obvious that he's not analyzing jack shit? He's just trying to prove himself right in any way, shape, or form. He has. He's become the analyst equivalent of Jack Thompson. Patrick, is there anything you would like to add to that?
Not much that I really want to say about this guy that I haven't said before. You know, he's making predictions, blatant, obvious, silly-ass predictions that anyone could make. You know, we've talked about him several times. He just keeps on making generalized, obvious predictions. Sooner or later, they'll have some form of a ring of truth to them. You know what else is why software sales are declining, at least the number of titles sold? It's because there's an oversaturation, like we've been talking about, of great titles. We can't keep buying all these games. We don't have enough money. But anyways, you know, Cuntface, as you like to call him now, he has a knack for the obvious, and I have a knack for calling him a douchebag because of this. You know, that's all I have to say about this guy. I don't want to give him too much time because I'm really bored of him. He got one prediction right. It was, and now he thinks he's Jesus.
Yeah, this has gotten so ludicrous. I had to bring it up. I couldn't help it. Gunsages, would you like to scream at jackass cunt face for a few seconds or whatever?
Here's how I look at this. Way, way, way back in the day, the one phrase I heard over and over again constantly was, make sure it's two-player! Every single time I wanted to motherfucking play something. So, I got really annoyed with multiplayer games. In general, I started hating them. My brother was someone who needed to be taught at first, then eventually it was my level, and then suddenly out of fucking nowhere was better than me at everything, anything, all things, and more determined. To the point that even playing single-player RPGs was not enjoyable, because whenever I would go ahead and shut down for the night, he would go, dude, wait, why are you, what are you doing? Go ahead and beat the final boss. No, dude, I don't want to do that right now. No, you got to beat the final boss. Come on, man, what are you doing? It's probably going to be another hour. I got to go ahead and go to sleep. No, you got to do this. It got fucking annoying. Single-player games were my way to escape, essentially, from my brother. From everything. From everyone. In essence, that's what a video game is. It's an escape. It's fun, yes, but it's also an escape. It's an escape from people. Multiplayer games have put this back into almost a sport, except it's a sport where you sit on the couch, get fat, and push buttons. So, it's not really a sport, but it is a sport, kind of. It's the couch potato sport. So I look at this and I go, okay, you're wrong, because it's popular, and you're a fucking idiot. How can you blame anything at all on online multiplayer unless you are not, in fact, doing online multiplayer? As much as I rag on multiplayer and MMOs and whatever else, I still acknowledge that they are a thing and make money. And they make money because as much as I don't get it, there are millions and fucking millions of people that do and spend shitloads of money on it a year to keep it coming. So, as much as I rag on it, I can acknowledge things like Team Fortress 2, Monday Night Combat, Left 4 Dead. All these things will continue to make money because they are fucking fun as hell. As much as I must be an antisocial motherfucker, I look at this and I go, you know, I will always love the single-player RPG, but there will always be a place for MMOs, even though I don't fucking get them. This guy's a fucking asshole. That's it.
I pretty much said all I'm going to say, because like I said, I said it last time, but I'm dead serious this time. This guy has become so irrelevant in an attempt to make himself right. That's it. I'm done talking about him. I mean, it's just really, and I encourage you in the enthusiast press to stop fucking feeding this stupid troll. And that has been news. We got Wonderstalgia this week. Gunsage, why don't you real quick tell us what game we are talking about this week, or tell the fine listeners.
The game we are talking about today is a game none of you ever heard of, because it's awesome, and it's nostalgic, and you're all under the age of 10. So go to bed. Now, the game we are talking about is 1942. It is a very basic, and as far as I understand it, no power-up version of a vertical shooter. Why is that interesting? Because it is 1942, motherfucker. It is based on the era of 1942, where there were planes in the sky shooting each other. Yes. Anyway, I didn't actually own the game until later. And I never played the arcade game until later. I did own 1942, 1943. I did play a number of knockoffs, things of that nature. I did play the emulated versions. Here's what I gotta say. 1942 is a pretty good game. But it mostly comes off as being one of the first really awesome vertical shooters where you weren't stationary like in Space Invaders. things were actually happening. The sea was actually moving beneath your plane, kind of, sort of. Not really a whole lot to say other than it was moving. It was a vertical shooter. You got to shoot the shit out of things. It was set in the 1940s, the early 1940s, actually. Beyond that, there's not really a whole lot I know as far as the arcade version, other than it was fun, simple, led to many other vertical shooters, and that's about it.
Patrick, what are your memories of 1942?
Well, 1942 is actually one of my favorite coin-op games. You know, it's one of those arcade games that really stand out in my memory when I think back to my days as a kid, plugging quarters into machines all over South Calgary, really, with my brother. I really liked this game. It was the music, I think, and the action, that kind of weird whistling music or military music or whatever the heck it was. You know, I might be one of the rare people, but I didn't like the sequel as much, 1943. I didn't like that as much as the original game. So I stuck with the original instead of the sequel when I could in the arcades. Like most games, I wasn't that great at it, but I was really good at using that loop-de-loop button or whatever the hell you want to call it. You know, that loop button where it got me out of a lot of what looked like were going to be surefire crashes. You know, I was better at that than my brother ever was, even though he could probably get a higher score than I was. I was good at avoiding getting killed, at least. I could wait till the last second and safely loop away from an explosion, which I always felt really satisfied about. There is actually an Xbox Live Arcade updated version of the game that came out a while ago, and I played it. I don't really remember it that much, so I don't think it can be a heck of a lot, really that good if I don't remember it. It was okay, I guess. Not as good as the original, but, you know, what remade game is better than the original? Pretty much none. Gamers should go check out the demo sometime of this game. It's got a bit of a retro feel to it. Check it out on Xbox Live Arcade. I still love the original arcade cabinet. If I can ever find it, I'll play it again. I never played these games on consoles, and only a few times on a PC with an emulator. It worked out okay, but nothing's better than just being in the arcade with my brother, with my friends, just playing it, you know? I stuck to the arcades, where 1942 was definitely at its absolute best.
You know, it's funny. Normally, when we do these older games, and I've tried to, you know, we've all as a group tried to herd it toward arcade titles, you know, our actual cabinet arcade titles. I actually played this first on the Commodore 64. The Commodore 64 Amiga, one of the two. And it was a lot of fun, and I had no idea that it was actual cabinet, because in my little small town, I hadn't been around like some of the others were. So I played it first there, but then we got an arcade cabinet at one of the little local restaurants, and I just loved it. I'm actually in the same boat as Patrick. I liked 43, but I actually prefer 42, but they're both fun. As Gunsage said, it was one of the first moving vertical shooters. A great way to waste quarters. Just a fun time. I've played it in several computer versions, but I totally agree with Patrick. It's the best in a stand-up arcade cabinet, much like a lot of these that we do. If you find one, spend the 5 minutes, if you got it, to drop a few quarters in it and play it. If nothing else, find an emulated version. I have not played the Xbox Joint Strike, so maybe demo that. But it's one of those games that you definitely need to bring up, because there was a lot of games that were inspired by it, things like that. And that's kind of what we hope to do with Wonderstalgia now and in the future. It's pretty much it for the show. Patrick, take it away with the prostitution, and then we'll get out of here.
All right. You're all sitting there at the edge of your seat saying, how can I become part of Wonder Pod? How can I tell my friends? Well, wonder no more. There are several things, Wonder Pod, we're whoring ourselves out across the internet. First and foremost, of course, we are on iTunes. And everyone and their dog should subscribe to us on iTunes. Give us a rating. It doesn't matter what region you're in, Canada, U.S. There's all sorts of reviews for us up there. Give us a review. Be nice. Definitely tell your friends about us on iTunes. We need the subscriptions, to be honest. We also have a very fun Facebook page. The name you're looking for is WonderPod Online. Become our friends. I don't know, send us questions. We do answer questions via Facebook quite often. Last week we had 3 of them or something like that. So WonderPod Online. Also, if you feel like being social, go to the Morphing Nation and projectwonderboy.morphingnation.com and check out the forums there. There's all sorts of stuff in Project Wonderboy, including our thread, the thread of WonderPod. Also on YouTube, there was a guy who's become a lazy bastard who was making a whole bunch of nice videos, highlight reels. He's kind of busy doing top secret things with Microsoft, but he vows to be back, and that would be me. So check out some of our older YouTube highlight reels. They're kind of neat, kind of cool, featuring our sexy avatars. I think that's about all the whoring I could do for this week.
I got to give him credit, ladies and gentlemen. He had that down to about a minute 10. That's impressive. The final way you could reach us, of course, if you prefer email, is at the following address, morphenation23@gmail.com, morphenation23@gmail.com. Any of those previous ways will work. Drop us a line, say hello, tell us we suck, who cares? And that's it for this week's show. You know, episode 34 is done, over, I am out of here. Peace.
Goodbye.
Guten Tag.